But if you guys want to start turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, that's where we're going to start this morning with Scripture. And it's all too fitting, because when Pastor first asked me to preach, I started praying about what to present on, what Scripture. And since God gave me the answer of what He was telling me that I wanted to speak on today, Pastor's been talking about, we've been mending our nets. We're getting ready to cast our nets. James and Amy just presented last week about going out and evangelizing with Time to Revive. And this morning, we're talking about the parable of the sower. And so we're going to look at it in Luke. So Luke 8, starting in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang out, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Continue in verse 9. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." So then Jesus goes on to explain the parable. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and then in time of temptation fall away. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they had heard, they go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring forth no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a notable and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And so he explains this parable to the disciples, and we can break that down to three parts here. We have the seed, the soil, and the fruit. And all three of those parts are equally important. So throughout Scripture, seeds are referenced plenty of times. Jesus talks about them many times during the parables. This is just one of the first of a bunch of parables that Jesus tells everyone. Jesus talks about the parable of the mustard seed and how such a little tiny seed can grow into something so great in such a big tree. There are other seeds that were planted too, but those just grew up to be little herbs. But that tree, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and that tree became so big and great that it's able to sustain many things and provide many things for everything else. Jesus talks about the parable of the growing seed and how the only role that man played in the seed was to plant it. So he was out scattering the seed. And it says that the man doesn't know how it grows, nor does he make the seed grow. But it shows us a progression that the seed does grow. It starts out with first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain of head, more seeds. Jesus also gave us the parable of the wheat and tares and how the good seed was sown, but also the bad seed was sown by the devil, and how an abrupt change with any of that could disrupt a lot. I mean, we all know what it's like to rip off a Band-Aid or get tape on your arm and rip it off. It's very destructive. It hurts, but those little changes help us along the way. You guys can write down the scripture to read it later, but John 12:24, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So we can see that there, that seed, just the seed by itself, isn't really doing a whole lot. It's not until it's actually planted that it actually is able to mature and develop. you guys would turn to chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, though. Here we're talking about you plant the seed, and it doesn't always start to show that it's growing. And the seed here is the Word of God. And some translations say that he was scattering the seed. Some of your translations, when you read it in Luke, may have said that. And we need to make sure that we scatter the seed generously. So 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, Paul says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And so we can't be caught up in just trying to plant the seed in one spot. We need to be generous with how we spread that seed. That seed is going to fall amongst thorns. It's going to fall on the wayside. It's going to fall on the rock. But it's scattered. And we don't know where it's going to take place, but we know that we scatter the seed and we have faith with that. And then he continues in verse 10 saying, "Now may he with capital H, who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So here we see God supplies the seed. He's given us the word. And we need to make sure that we're out being entrenched in God's word, understanding his word, and ready to spread that seed. He's given us fruits. He says it right here already. So I did a little bit of research on facts about seeds. And a few things that we see going on here is the seeds, after they mature, they go into a state that's called dormancy. And while they're dormant is when those seeds are able to be scattered. Those seeds are able to hold everything they need right there with it. Each of those seeds contains in the plant an embryo form plus a storage of food for it to feed until it grows. They're very robust. A lot of times they have a thick shell, a thick outer shell, and it's called a seed coat. And the conditions need to be right for the seed coat to start getting bigger and growing and burst open out of that seed coat and start growing into the soil and start growing and sustaining, getting its nutrients from the soil and really growing in that soil. So that brings us to the soil. And Jesus gives us a lot of details about the soil here. So there are four types of soil that are noted in the scripture. The first one is hard-packed paths, as I'll call it. That is the paths. It's the wayside. It's back in the time where Jesus was giving this parable, you had basically roads, paths that went through the middle of fields, and everybody traveled on them. And so everything got hard-packed. Nothing was really able to penetrate through that. Just last weekend, actually, Ashley and I took the girls down to a corn maze. And what I was kind of amazed with there as we're walking through even is those paths, even though it was turned up soil at some point, they were so hard packed because of everybody walking on them that there weren't any weeds growing. It was all bare. And so that's the first one that we're talking about is the hard packed paths. The seed just lands on top of it and it doesn't go down into the ground. It just sits there. Sometimes our hearts are so hard that the enemy just comes and snatches that word away. And it's the same seed that's planted in all of these. It's not like you've got a better seed that you're putting into the good ground. It's that same seed that's going through all of these. Now, originally when I first read the scripture, I was only really thinking about you witness to somebody and they don't really receive the word. They don't actually really want to hear the word. But it could also apply to oftentimes, especially people who are caught up in religion where they're going to church just because it's Sunday, they go to church. It can also be that they're sitting there in church, but they're not really letting the Word of God grow in them. They just hear that Word, but it sits there. And the enemy takes it and they aren't able to do anything with it. So that was just something that kind of really God opened my eyes as I was preparing for this as well. The second soil, we'll call it the shallow soil. It's basically you had soil that was on top of the rock. It wasn't that you were planting it right on the rock. It's just a real thin layer. Now, I'm sure many of you who's seen trees or plants growing out of gutters or a truck bed, I'm sure a lot of you guys have. I know a lot of times I end up with a tree growing in my truck bed every spring because the maple whirly gigs land down in there and they land in some leaves and it sprouts up. But what happens? It's not able to sustain the plant. And so that's much like this. In this case, the believer receives God's word and they're excited about it. Maybe it's somebody that we witnessed to and they said yes. And then we leave it at that. Well, now, you're going to run into temptation. You're going to run into troubles. You're going to run into hard times. But what happens? Without nurturing them, they don't have any roots. So they just fall away. Could be somebody that they come here for a week, 2 weeks, a month, and then all of a sudden they disappear. Maybe nobody really struck up a relationship with them. They haven't had that chance to really have somebody come alongside them and tend to their roots. I'm going to pick on you guys this morning. James and Amy, with Time to Revive, one of the things I love about Time to Revive is they have that discipleship program. They aren't just out there saving souls and then not doing anything to help them establish their roots. They're actually coming alongside them, trying to help them strengthen their roots. And too often we might be caught up wanting to kind of help shade them or something. But that's not actually giving them any growth. We've got to help them tend to their roots. That trouble is actually healthy for them. Peter tells us that the trials help us purify our faith. I mean, I know some of the strongest growth that I've had has come through the hard times. And that's really one of the biggest things is we need to help them tend to their root system. Help them strengthen themselves in Christ. Help prepare their hearts as we go along in Christ. If you want to turn to Acts 14. So here in Acts, this is right after Paul was taken out and stoned. And he nearly died. Some say that he may have died and came back to life. And so Paul, through Luke in Acts, they're talking about when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. That's just a fact. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations. Embrace it. Lean on God, get your roots, tend to your roots, make sure that you've got plenty of room in your soil to have those roots strengthened. Next, we're going to come to what we call the competing or crowded soil. And so here, again, it's the same seed. And in this soil, the seed has taken root, it's got plenty of roots. It's able to hold up to those trials, it's able to hold up to those temptations, it's able to withstand that heat from the sun. But we've got weeds. We've got thorns. We've got stuff that doesn't really benefit us. And so here, all that other stuff is competing for that good soil. All that other stuff is making it to where that good plant, that good seed, is not getting as much as it could. And so what happens? It grows up and it isn't quite able to bear good fruit. It isn't able to bear mature fruit. He puts it as the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things that we enjoy doing. But if it's competing for God's time, if it's competing for the position that God plays in our life, we need to take analysis of it. Yeah, I can talk today. So, we are to take and analyze where we are with that. I know I've done that quite a bit too, even. I look at things and I'm going, what is this really gaining? What is this really, how is this really playing out? What importance does this really have? And it's a struggle. But we all, I mean, I'm sure you guys, some of you guys may right now even have God where he's laying it on your heart for what it is that's keeping, that's putting a wedge between you and him. And embrace that. God's revealing it to you. And we'll pray with you. I mean, pray for God to take that away. I mean, he has. I mean, back before I was saved, when I had a hard time, I turned to alcohol. And since being saved, though, when I gave that over to God, that was probably one of the biggest things that was driving between me and God. And he took that from me. And it just opened my eyes so much following that. I mean, it could be anything from insisting on having a really nice car or working on a really fancy car or all social media that you may get involved in and get engrossed in and just spend there time after time after time. Next thing you know, 3 hours go by and whoa, what just happened? It could be a certain video game that you want to play all the time. It could be a sports team that you want to catch every game of. It could be a TV show that you want to catch every show of. You just have to analyze, where does this fit into what God has planned for me? Where does this fit into where God's position is with me? Again, this is where it's great to have discipleship, great to have other people that you connect with in the church. Go through life together with people. They'll help tend to your roots, you'll help tend to theirs. They can speak into your life when they see something distracting you from God. You can speak into their life when that happens. That's why it's important to have those friends in the faith that you're able to turn to, that you're able to share with. Because otherwise, it's a battle. It's a struggle trying to get this mixed with this, and then what wins out? What wins out here? And that's never good. But God can take that from you. We also deal with the good soil. And this is where the soil is able to do the most for the plant. It's where that plant's able to grow and thrive and flourish and bring forth everything that it wants to bring forth. It grows completely, it grows maturely, it grows solid. That soil could have had those thorns in it, but those thorns were removed. It may have been shallow at one point, but that was really turned up and given you good space to grow. I remember back when I was first saved too, that oftentimes before reading scripture, or oftentimes before coming to service, or even during worship during service, I prayed for God to make my heart like the good soil. And I know God honors that. God hears our prayers. God wants us to take that to him in prayer, and he's willing and faithful to do that for us. 1 Corinthians 3, I'll just read it. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So here, our job is to scatter that seed. Our job is to water that seed. God will bring the increase. We don't need to try to dig up that seed and see how it's doing. Oh, okay, put it back in the ground. We might be tempted to do it, but we can't do that. We have to trust that God is going to bring the increase. We have to trust that God is going to be faithful. Sometimes that takes time. There are seeds that I've tried planting and watering and they haven't come to fruition yet, but I know they will at some point. I just have to be faithful. I mean, it's like the parable of the growing seed. I don't know how it grows or when it'll grow, but I know it'll grow. I just trust God for that. So God gives the increase. What happens when it increases? It brings forth fruit. So that's the third part of the parable, is the fruit. Again, it's just as important as the seed was. It's just as important as the soil is. It's the fruit. In Matthew, it says, a tree is known by its fruit. We've got a couple of trees on our property that I don't remember which ones they are until the apples start growing. But I know we've got a couple of apple trees along the one tree line. I just never remember which ones they are until I actually see the fruit growing. That's much like us. When you're growing fruit, people will notice. So let's look at what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5, verses 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some of those fruits sound pretty good. I like joy. I like peace, kindness. Some of those are a struggle, and they really take a lot of effort. Sometimes we might want to highlight some of those in a nice bright yellow, some maybe with a Sharpie black. But all those fruit are important. God grows all that fruit in us. Paul, when he's writing in the Philippians, he commended them for their generosity in meeting his needs. He was encouraged, and it wasn't that he was encouraged because he was receiving the gifts from them, but he was encouraged because he saw their fruit that they were producing. We talked about trials a little bit. James talks quite a bit of trials. And it's evident that he recognized and encouraged the fruit as well. He encourages us to act on God's word, not just hear it. Again, we're planting that word in our hearts. So that word's growing in our hearts. We want to be faithful and carry that out. James talks a lot about works in faith. Faith, how much is it really faith until you're acting on it in faith? It's easy to say, oh yeah, I can do that. And then when it comes down to it, sometimes it's a struggle to act out your faith, work out your faith, walk out your faith. He reminds us faith without our works is dead. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, I'm not saying that works are everything, but it's just, if you're bearing fruit, that fruit's going to be evident. You can't hide that fruit either, because, I mean, there's been a lot. I'm going to use an example. Here in the last probably 6 months, we've been launching a new product line at work. And so a lot of us in engineering have been out on the shop floor dealing with everybody in production, dealing with everybody that's out there on the shop floor, and it shows. So I've got some people, I mean, a lot of them know that I'm a believer. They know what I stand for. And there are a handful of them that pretty much have gotten kind of closer to where I work with them a decent amount, to where they know kind of how I'm going to act. And the one day we were getting frustrated with chasing an electrical problem around a van, and we were right back to where we had started at, and they just look over at me going, you know you want to start swearing soon. So that person, I mean, she has a potty mouth. I'll say, she is not shy about it either, but she knew. I never once said that I don't swear. She just knew. You can't hide your fruit when you're producing fruit. A lot of times out there, it's negative. Try to turn that negative around with positive. Show them kindness. Show them love. This next generation, they're looking for love. The millennials, those 18 to millennials and Generation Z, I think it is, those 18 to 35 age range, they are looking for love. They don't always understand it. I don't understand them a lot of times, but it's important for us to continue to love on them. I'm going to go ahead and close with the story about when the seed was planted in me. I was doing a lot of praying and asking God, when was that seed planted in me? I didn't grow up in church. Most I really was at church was twice a year. Once for Easter with my grandpa, and then once for vacation Bible school because my mom wanted to get us kids out of the house and have a week to herself. So, of all those times being in church, I don't remember ever hearing the gospel presented. I don't ever remember hearing about Jesus' love. All I really remembered was crafts and singing songs. So I thought about when that seed was actually planted in me. I remember in high school, sophomore year, we were getting off the school bus one morning, and a couple of our friends, Ben and Emily Tennant, they were out with their youth group. They were handing out tracts. Attached to the tracts were candy canes. Okay, sure, I want a candy cane. Well, I took that candy cane, and probably wasn't until the second or third period that I actually read when I got hungry, and never realized why we celebrated Christmas. That kind of made me start thinking. Fast forward again to Easter. They handed out tracts again for Easter, explaining what Easter's about. They had that faith to stand out there and willing to put themselves out there amongst all the teenagers. Now, I dealt with both of them quite a bit. Emily was in the same grade as me. Ben was a couple years ahead of me. But we were all in band class together. It was a small town, about the size of Rochester maybe. And so you kind of knew the way people were. And looking back, I see a lot of fruit, even at their age. I know they weren't perfect. I mean, we were around them quite a bit. We would, on band trips even, we would take and go up to Mackinac Island and stuff. So you'd be around them pretty much the whole 3 or 4 days that we were gone. But that seed was planted, and I recognized the fruit. And I believe fruit has so many seeds in it. And each of those seeds multiplies. And God just takes that. I mean, God's into multiplication. So that one seed could produce 10 more seeds. And each of those 10 seeds could produce another 8 or 9. And you start going out, God is into multiplication. So that's why it's important for us to realize and look at what we have going on. Encourage everybody to analyze your soil. Take a look. Do I need to tend to my roots? Take a look at other things growing in your lives, growing in your heart. Does any of that need pruned? Start getting shedded away. We'll be up here. We're willing to pray with you. Ask God to take it from you. We're going to agree with you in prayer. God is faithful to take it from you. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for letting it sink deep into our hearts, Lord. Lord, if we have shallow roots, we welcome you to tend to those. We welcome you to remove those thorns that we have growing in our lives. We welcome you to remove any of those things that are keeping us from you. Lord, we seek that fruit. We seek to bring forth that fruit to maturity, Lord. We praise you. We know that you are a God who answers prayers. We recognize that and we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know how much life you give to them, start laying it on their heart, Lord. If there's somebody here who says, I want to know more, Lord, fill them. Fill them with what you have planned for them. Fill them for everything that you have that you are fully capable of giving them, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name.